And so to take this topic on another perspective, Dr. Paluski is going to talk about how best to avoid an axillary dissection. Dr. Melissa Paluski is an attending breast surgeon at Memorial Sloan Kettering.
Thank you, and thanks very much for the invitation to speak today. Let's see. This is my disclosure, which is not relevant to this discussion. So what I hope to do is summarize a lot of what we've heard and put this into context of how to identify the best strategy to avoid an axillary dissection and review how good we are at avoiding bigger axillary surgery in these situations. And so just to keep this in perspective, the whole premise of this discussion is how can we best avoid the surgical morbidity of an axillary dissection, the most feared of which is lymphedema, and that's really the driver for basically all the studies that we're reviewing today. So I'm going to start with the clinically node-negative patients. And when I say clinically node-negative, I'm referring to physical exam with no palpable adenopathy and not referring to axillary imaging at this time. And in my mind, for this population of patients who are clinically node-negative but found microscopically to be node-positive, I think that we have three potential strategies, either utilizing the Z11 approach for patients who are treated with upfront lymphectomy, consideration of nodal radiation in lieu of an axillary dissection, or potentially use of neoadjuvant chemotherapy in hopes of downstaging any microscopic disease and rendering patients node negative to avoid that operation. So I'm going to go through each of these, starting with the Z11 approach. We've heard this a couple of times, but just showing briefly the study schema. Again, with long-term results, we now know that it's safe to avoid an axillary dissection in early-stage breast cancer patients undergoing lumpectomy, found to have 1 to 2 positive sentinel nodes and are treated with whole breast radiation therapy with very low rates of regional recurrence. So this study has really changed how we practice. This is just results from the first cohort of unselected early stage patients treated at Sloan Kettering using the Z11 approach. From a 2-year period, there were over 2,000 women who met those clinical stage criteria. 18% of that group was found to have a positive sentinel node. So pre-Z11, all of those women would have gone on to have an axillary dissection. Using this approach, 84% of women were spared a dissection because they had 1 or 2 positive sentinel nodes, and the minority, 16%, went on to have the bigger surgery. And this cohort has been updated, and that number is holding true, right around 16% of sentinel node biopsy positive patients having an axillary dissection. And so, again, I put on here that this is without routine axillary imaging. The Z11 study did not have a requirement for axillary imaging, and so I think a big clinical question that comes up is, in the Z11 era, does having an ultrasound help us make these decisions? We're not asking if an ultrasound can identify an abnormal node. We're asking, can an ultrasound identify women who would have greater than 2 positive sentinel nodes who would require a dissection? So that was the question of the study shown here. We again looked at our population of women treated according to Z11 from a 3-year period. We had 425 women meeting those criteria with a positive sentinel node, and we went back and looked at all of their imaging. All patients, as expected, had a mammogram, and just about half also had an axillary ultrasound prior to presentation. So we went, one radiologist reviewed all of these images, and again, all of these patients had a positive sentinel node, but from that group, only a quarter had any abnormal lymph nodes identified. And from that cohort, the vast majority had 1 or maybe 2 abnormal nodes seen. There were 3 patients, or 1% of the population, that had 3 or more abnormal lymph nodes seen. So the first finding here is that seeing multiple abnormal nodes is very uncommon in this cohort of early stage patients. And then we compared rates of axillary dissection for these different groups. So for women who did not have an axillary ultrasound preoperatively, 17% required an axillary dissection. That number was slightly lower at 12% for women who had a negative axillary ultrasound, and 30% for patients with any abnormal lymph node seen. So while this is statistically different, it highlights that 70% of women with an abnormal axillary ultrasound did not require a dissection. And what about taking this one step further? I think the more common algorithm in practice is that an ultrasound is obtained. If abnormal, that's followed by a needle biopsy, and if positive, those women are triaged to an upfront dissection without a sentinel node biopsy. So I think the same question pertains, does that information identify a population with a nodal disease burden that would warrant a dissection? So the 2 studies shown here looked at this cohort. patients with clinical T1 to T2 breast cancers who had an upfront needle biopsy followed by a full dissection. And our population was restricted to those who were clinically known negative by exam, but the results are very similar. And about 50% of those women have 1 to 2 total positive nodes, and 50% had 3 or more positive nodes. So I think that in clinically known negative patients, using this information to triage patients to an upfront dissection without a sentinel node biopsy may result in unnecessary dissection in at least 50% of patients. But I think importantly, because the Z11 trial was looking at number of positive sentinel nodes, not total positive nodes, that rate is likely an underestimate of women who could be spared an axillary dissection if this information is used to triage that way. So in my practice, for patients who present with early stage disease who I'm going to manage with an upfront lumpectomy, I don't routinely get an ultrasound. We go to the operating room with a sentinel node biopsy and use those results to manage any additional axillary therapy. And so how about now the role of nodal radiation? We've now heard the Amaros trial, again, showing that we had very similar results for patients randomized to axillary dissection or sentinel node with nodal radiation. And we have a small group, 18%, who underwent mastectomy in this study. And so I think that the results of this trial support that axillary radiation is an appropriate alternative to axillary dissection in select patients with a positive sentinel node. But it doesn't tell us that all sentinel node positive patients require nodal radiation. We just reviewed the Z11 results that did not have standard nodal radiation there. So who should we be thinking about this approach for? I think for lumpectomy patients, we're looking at scenarios where either the surgeon or the radiation oncologist sees risk factors that would warrant some additional protection to the axilla. In our clinical practice, a scenario that comes up frequently is finding microscopic extracapsular extension. And for mastectomy patients, as we've heard, this gets a little complicated. If patients fall into this category and have 1 to 2 positive sentinel nodes, and that's enough data to support the use of post-mastectomy radiation, then we can use radiation instead of an axillary dissection. But I think, as we've heard, oftentimes we're choosing between the lesser of two evils. And the group from Boston, led by Dr. Terry King, has looked at their population to see how frequently they could avoid basically both, requiring both an axillary dissection and radiation for patients undergoing upfront mastectomy with 1 to 2 positive sentinel nodes. And the breakdown is shown here. It's a small number of patients, but basically what they did was look at the pathology and use a multidisciplinary approach to identify those women that they felt met criteria for radiation, and then went on to radiation alone and did not add the axillary dissection. So 14 out of 20 patients were basically spared both treatment modalities. One, I think, open trial that will present a lot of important information is currently enrolling women in the UK. Same patient population, clinical T1 to T2, N0 breast cancer patients with 1 to 2 positive nodes. And here women are being randomized to sentinel node biopsy alone or additional axillary treatment, which could be surgery or nodal radiation. And they're including both lumpectomy and mastectomy patients. And so I think that this is an important study that's going to provide data on omission of axillary therapy for a sentinel node biopsy positive patient in both surgical cohorts. So something that's much needed for our mastectomy patients. And going to the third rung here is the use of neoadjuvant chemo to potentially downstage microscopic disease. So as we've heard, sentinel node biopsy has shown to be appropriate in clinically node negative patients following neoadjuvant chemotherapy with very similar identification and false negative rates to the procedure performed upfront, and that it consistently we see lower rates of nodal positivity in clinically node negative patients who are treated with upfront chemotherapy. And so this is one other approach that we have. For patients who are clinically node negative and treated with upfront chemo, the standard is to go on to a sentinel node biopsy. We send this for a frozen section, and if negative, we're finished. But if there's any nodal positivity, then we go on to an axillary dissection. So the clinical question that we are often faced with in these early stage patients is, what's the best option? Should we treat patients according to Z11 and perform an axillary dissection if there's more than 2 positive nodes, or should we look for abnormal nodes and then triage patients to neoadjuvant chemotherapy, try and downstage them, and then treat them accordingly? So the data has shown that rates of axillary dissection do not differ based on tumor subtype for women managed according to Z11 with an upfront lumpectomy, but we know that pathologic nodal response differs substantially following chemo based on subtype. And shown here are rates of nodal pathologic complete response among biopsy-proven patients who receive neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And this is a series presented by our current fellow, but very consistent with others in the literature, and that consistently the lowest rates of nodal path CR are seen in patients with hormone receptor positive HER2 negative tumors, with the highest rates in those with HER2 positive. And then triple negatives falling in the middle at about 50%. And so based on this, we wouldn't expect similar rates of downstaging across all tumor subtypes. And that was really the clinical question that we asked in this series. We wanted to see what our practice patterns were and what's the likelihood of requiring an axillary dissection based on different treatment types and tumor subtypes. So we identified about 2,000 patients with a clinical T1 to T2 and 0 cancer and divided them into the three groups. We had the upfront Z11 population who had a lumpectomy and a positive sentinel node, the neoadjuvant chemo cohort, as well as about 1,000 women who had an upfront mastectomy. Again, this isn't a randomized comparison, it's just looking at rates by these treatment types, and so as expected, women receiving neoadjuvant chemotherapy had higher risk features. But to break this down, we compared the different surgeries to those women receiving neoadjuvant chemotherapy. In this table are the rates of axillary dissection for the upfront lumpectomy or the Z11 population compared to the neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And on the left, you see the different tumor subtypes. So across the board, for the upfront breast conservation group, you see similar rates of axillary dissection, about 15%, and differing rates following neoadjuvant chemotherapy, with the highest rates for the hormone receptor positive HER2 negatives and single digit rates of axillary dissection for women with HER2 positive or triple negatives. So looking across the subtype, for those with hormone receptor positive HER2 negatives, for those women who received neoadjuvant chemotherapy, they had greater than twice the likelihood of having an axillary dissection compared to women who are managed according to Z11. And as a reminder, that upfront breast conservation group are all sentinel node biopsy positive patients. So if we include all comers, including node negative women, those rates would be even lower, just highlighting the benefit of sparing the axilla with that approach. And this held true on multivariate analysis, comparing upfront Z11 versus neoadjuvant chemotherapy. For this tumor subtype, receipt of neoadjuvant chemotherapy was associated with greater than a threefold increased likelihood of axillary dissection. And now if we flip this and we compare upfront mastectomy to the neoadjuvant chemo cohorts, we basically see a completely opposite trend. There's really no difference in rates of axillary dissection for the hormone receptor positive HER2 negative group, but substantially lower rates for the HER2 positive and triple negatives because of the excellent response to chemo that we see in the nodes here. And again, on multivariate analysis, this persisted with a substantially lower likelihood of axillary dissection following neoadjuvant chemo for those two subtypes. So I made just my own little cheat sheet of how I think about this. So across the top here are basically treatment strategies, and then on the left are tumor subtypes. So for the most common subtype that we see, women with an ER-positive HER2-negative cancer, I think that utilization of Z11, if appropriate, if the patient's eligible for an upfront lumpectomy, is really the best approach to spare an axillary dissection if that patient is found to be node-positive. And for the triple negatives and HER2 positives, I think that both the Z11 strategy as well as consideration of neoadjuvant chemotherapy are good strategies to minimize axillary surgery. And the asterisk that you see there is that for those two subtypes, there are situations where systemic therapy decision making may be impacted by the different approaches. And so sometimes this is definitely a conversation with a medical oncologist to figure out the best approach. And you'll see that there's no preferred in the upfront mastectomy group. Again, at this time, we don't have any data showing the safe omission of any additional axillary therapy for women with a positive sentinel node. So for this population, we just need to stay tuned. So now I'm just going to shift gears and go to the clinically node positive axilla. So patients who present with palpable adenopathy. At this time, the only option we have to minimize the likelihood of an axillary dissection is to try and leverage the benefit of systemic therapy to hopefully convert them to clinically node negative and de-escalate their surgery, and again, with the attempts of reducing the morbidity. So our approach is that in women who present with a clinical N1, so palpable adenopathy, who become clinically node negative after neoadjuvant chemotherapy, we consider eligible for a sentinel node biopsy. And as we've heard, there are strategies to try and minimize the false negative rate, so using dual mapping, and our policy is the retrieval of at least 3 sentinel nodes. So how often does this happen? This is the initial population treated at our institution, including women with stage 2 to 3 breast cancer, who were biopsy-proven node positive and treated with neoadjuvant chemotherapy. So from this group, there were 155 women who we considered eligible for downstaging, meaning they didn't present with T4 disease or N2 or N3 disease. And of those 155 women, the majority, 85%, converted to clinically node negative. So those who remained clinically node positive went on to have their dissection. And of the 132 patients who converted, almost all of them, 128, had a sentinel node biopsy. And so here are the results from that. In that cohort, 110 women were able to have 3 or more sentinel nodes retrieved. So the vast majority of patients, we were successful in this. And from that group, 48 remained pathologically node positive and had a dissection, and 62 were converted to pathologically node negative and had a sentinel node biopsy alone. So in total, 48% of the clinically node positive patients that were eligible for downstaging were spared an axillary dissection with this approach. So again, the standard at this time is that patients who remain node positive, unless they're on a clinical trial, should go on to have an axillary dissection. That's also true for women who have failed mapping, or who you can't minimize that false negative rate, whether it's retrieving 3 or more sentinel nodes, or if your policy is to remove a clip node. If that doesn't occur, the standard is to go on to a dissection, as well as patients who initially presented with disease that makes them ineligible for a sentinel node biopsy. And so what I've done is put together just a couple of algorithms. The slide here is very busy, which just highlights how complicated this decision is becoming. So this is the upfront surgery algorithm for clinically node negative patients. So again, by physical exam, broken down to whether they're undergoing a lumpectomy, meaning Z11 criteria, or undergoing an upfront mastectomy, and taking into consideration the number of positive sentinel nodes and whether or not you would use nodal radiation. This is much simpler. The algorithm for upfront surgery in patients who are clinically node positive, an unlikely scenario, but there are some patients where it just makes sense that they can't tolerate chemotherapy, or we think that there's a very low likelihood that they would downstage. So if someone is clinically node positive, it's appropriate to prove that, do an ultrasound and biopsy to confirm the nodal disease, and if positive, go on to an axillary dissection. But most of these patients would be triaged to neoadjuvant chemotherapy. And so the algorithm here is split into those who are clinically node negative on the top. The middle are those patients who are clinical N1 but convert to clinically node negative, where we use that optimized sentinel node biopsy approach. And on the bottom are women who present as clinically node positive and remain so. And so in those patients, as we've discussed on a number of occasions, the standard is an axillary dissection. So in conclusion, I would say that the best way to minimize lymphedema development is to avoid an axillary dissection. And the strategies really differ by, number one, their clinical status up front, but also the surgery type and their tumor subtype. I think all of that needs to be taken into consideration. And the effort that we put into minimizing this is really going to improve the quality of life for our patients. And there are ongoing efforts and studies to identify additional populations who can safely be managed with smaller surgery or alternatives to axillary dissection. So with that, I thank you.